Welcome to another edition of the Untold Patriots Stories podcast with Scott Prusak and Dave Usher, where you'll hear stories told by the players and media members.
Hello, Patriots fans from across the globe. We appreciate you checking in to Untold Patriots Stories. I'm Patriots historian Bob Hilberg, and tonight we have a two-time Super Bowl champ with us, and Ken Walter, and I'm going to introduce you to my co-host, Scott Prusak, and hope you get some good insights about some stories, and we're going to talk about leadership, we're going to talk about overcoming obstacles, and what it takes to win in life. So, Scott, welcome to the show, and Ken as well. So, take it from here, Scott.
All right. Well, Ken, it's great to have you on tonight. You know, I'm sure we're gonna give the listeners a lot of stories and some insight into your career. So, I think the best way to start with you is how you actually got started in football. How you got kind of recognized and how your career started, and it's a pretty interesting story. So.
Well, again, thanks, guys, for having me. I appreciate it, man. You know, known you for a long time, so, you know, always appreciate getting to see you actually in person now. Instead
of yeah, on the phone.
But, you know, growing up in Cleveland, Ohio, I was a three-sport athlete, you know, always playing sports, travel baseball, you know, it never stopped in our household. And, you know, I think I want to say it was probably my sophomore year in high school. A good buddy of mine, his dad was the head equipment manager for the Cleveland Browns. And he asked me if I would be interested in working. And it was tough for me because I wanted to say yes, but I hated the Browns so much because I was a Steelers fan. So it was really tough. I had to go home and try to tell my dad that I was going to, you know, get a ball boy job for the Cleveland Browns. But it was actually a really unique opportunity. You know, my buddy's dad, Ed Carroll, said, you know, hey, you could work with the special teams guys, you know, and get to know them. And I was walking on at Kent State. Actually, let's fast forward. It was it might have been my senior year going into my freshman year of college. And so that got me more recognized. So, you know, there's a lot of moving parts to this whole thing. Once I was a ball boy for the Browns, Kirk Ferentz, who is the head coach at Iowa, was the offensive line coach. He saw me punting one time and said, I'll make one phone call and you'll have a scholarship to go punt at Iowa. And I'm like, well, I just walked on at Kent State. Like, I just did my paperwork and all this kind of stuff. So, you know, it was kind of cool for me, you know, in so many ways that I'm out there punting kind of on my own. And then it started getting recognized to where Belichick, and I found out, you know, after the fact that it was coming from him, that on the practice schedule, it would say, ball boy warm-up punters before practice, ball boy warm-up punters or punt returners after practice. So then I was just ball boy. So you always stayed out of Bill's way. Even when I was a kid, like, you know, if I'm walking down the hallway, I just looked at the floor and kept walking. Like, you know, we were told don't talk to anybody. And if they talk to you, keep it short. Especially the brass, the owners and all that, you know, we're just kids and we're just there picking up laundry. So, you know, the more I started doing it, the more over the years, because I did it for a few years, that Bill would start to put me in situations, which I don't know if they're legal now. I mean, I don't think it was legal then to not carry another punter in camp knowing you have a ball boy. who is basically your, you know, your backup guy. But he would call me out one time. I'm on the sidelines with Matt Stover. He was a kicker. We're on a knee and they're doing punt after safety. So they line up the whole kickoff team and they're kicking to the Browns kickoff return, their starting kickoff return. So it was a look team. And all of a sudden I hear, where's the effing ball boy? And I'm like, it's like, it's got to be me. Belichick calls for me. I run out there. He hands me the football and he says, don't F this up. He was like, he goes, do not F this drill up. And so he gives me the ball and I'm getting ready to get set. And he said, look over there at the golf cart. See that guy? That's the owner, Art Modell. Don't F it up. And I just remember not being sweaty at all because we had just gotten out there. And I just remember I was drenched. So I spin the ball, I check both sides and I spin the ball in my hand. And I think I hit the ball about 70 yards. I had wow. Eric Metcalf backpedaling, catching it over his shoulder. And those are the things that, Bill would have me do punt block drill, which guys are coming in full speed and they're blocking it off of my foot. And he used to yell it at me and say, if this ball doesn't go 40 yards, if they don't block it, it's your fault. And I'm thinking to myself, it's my fault. So, I'd have guys coming off the corner and I'm trying to time it up so that they block it every time. And there's times where they were late, so I had to punt it and they'd get a finger on it. So here I am, a ball boy going in the locker room. And I mean, I am getting bitched at by these guys, like, why the F are you punting this thing so hard? And this, and I'm caught like, hey, he's telling me, so I kind of got Bill's dry humor, even as a kid, as a ball boy, I knew to stay out of his way, but I knew how, how he worked. And the players did not like Bill when he was in Cleveland. I mean, the locker room, I was in the locker room a lot. Now I'm in the locker room with these guys and they did not. Bill was over the top in so many ways. And we've had grown up discussions one-on-one, about the learning curve in both coaching and, listening to your players. And, right. And so, he admitted to me several times that, he learned a lot from that time in Cleveland. And so he knew who I was. I went on with my career. And then when the job came up in New England, he took me in his office and said, hey, I'm glad I can pay you better than a ball boy salary. And he told me, he said, one thing I know about you is every time I put you in a situation out there as a kid, that you shined. And every time Steve Belichick, Mr. Belichick, who had passed away, used to be out of practice all the time getting hang times. So I'm punting with Tom Tupa and we're warming up and Tom Tupa's a line drive guy and I'm a hang time guy. So of course Steve Belichick's getting 5 seconds and then, 4-6 and 5-2 and then 4-3. It got to the point where Tupa was like, get out of here. Like, stop. And I'm going, I'm on the schedule. It says ball boy warm up. Funners. My return. So, that was always a lot of fun. And as I got older, and followed the team to Baltimore, it had been Ray Lewis's rookie year. I was out punting Greg Montgomery, who was the punter for the Baltimore Ravens. And he's the one that got on the phone and said, look, man, you're out punting me and I'm on my way out. Like, you should be in somewhere. So that's when, kind of my whole thing got started. But, it was that relationship I had with the Cleveland Browns and with Bill and Ed Carroll getting me the ball boy job there kind of took off.
Wow.
So did punting come naturally to you? I mean, was it something that this hang time, was it more technique or was it?
I hated it. I was an athlete. I was a catcher. I wanted to be, I had some major league scouts looking at me. Back then it was kind of like, if you chose a sport, they kind of just let you go. Whereas now you can see guys getting drafted in baseball and going to football. It doesn't matter. But back then, once I kind of made up my mind, I had some scouts just kind of like, oh, he's going football. It was just something I was always good at, being athletic, man. I mean, just, if we were playing hockey, we were playing hockey. If we were playing baseball, we were playing baseball. We were playing this, we were playing that. But every time I'm right-handed and left-footed and I could throw a ball, 70 yards, with my right, then turn around and punt it. So every time, I think when I was a freshman, when I was punting one time and the varsity coach was like, whoa, can you do that again? Can you do that again? And like, you know, at that point, I had no idea that I would ever punt a ball. And probably wasn't until my senior year of high school when I kind of just started taking it a little bit more serious.
So walk us through. So you with the Patriots in 2004, correct? 2001.
Yeah.
Kind of walk us through all that, like going through training camp and then, you know, playing that year, what happened with Bledsoe, and then Brady takes over, and just kind of take us through, like, kind of from beginning to end, what that year was like for you.
That was crazy now, because I came in week five, somewhere in there. It was
13 games in 2001. Yeah.
Yeah. So it was later. And of course, I go from the Carolina Panthers with this beautiful stadium, you know. You walk in, there's marble floors, there's Panthers heads all over. Like, we got more stuff, like, from that organization. You walk in, and it's like Christmas at your chair every day. And I walked in. I'm going to tell you, when I walked in that place, I was like, are you kidding me? Like, these are like, you're treating us like dogs. Like, guys, this is not the NFL. Like, get on a flight, come with me. And I remember Vinatieri and Paxton, they would get pissed at me because it took me about 2 weeks to be like, what the heck is going on here? But I came in at that time when it was the Brady Bledsoe thing. And of course, where did they put my locker? In between Drew and Tom. So here's this guy. I'm in the middle trying to get my equipment out of there quickly. Because, you know, I'll give some things, you know, out to the general public, but there was a little bit of, you know, Drew, there were some apologies from Drew from time to time, like, you know, Tommy, I'm sorry, man, I didn't mean to go off on you like that. You know, as you well know, I mean, it was a tough time, man, to be Drew Bledsoe. And he's one of my favorite all time guys ever for the way he handled that and the way he stepped in. He got us the first ring. I mean, he got us through Pittsburgh. So, but that was a really, really cool situation in the way of, I guess, the timing of it. Like, oh man, I'm in between Brady and I didn't really know Brady at the time, but Drew Bledsoe, like, man, I was a fan. And then to see all that happen and then just see how the whole year with, man, we were all players that were kind of either left over, you know, teams didn't want to pay, you know, we were kind of those misfits, if you will. And, we took it to heart. We took it to heart, and Bill, you know, that was the first time I saw Bill in a different way. You know, different from Cleveland, where, I mean, players were really, they were pretty upfront and honest on how bad they did not like him openly in the locker room. So it was different. It was a different feel. And it was kind of cool being on the other side of the coin and being in the meeting rooms and being a part of that, you know, knowing that was there for a reason.
Well, you were mostly, I mean, that group of guys was a lot of Belichick guys, right? I mean, that team pretty much was players that he dealt with in the past that he had trust in, and that's kind of what built that foundation, right?
Yeah, yeah. And, you know, Bill is certainly, well, he was anyway. I know he's, you know, the game has transformed. These punters are different. You know, they're doing this Aussie style stuff, things that didn't exist when I was there. Like, I'm trying to teach my son how to do it, and I don't know how to do it.
Yeah,
I'm watching film, and I'm like, well, it looks like he holds it like this. And I'm like, you know, it irritates me because I'm like, you know, all it is a fair catch every time. Well, I mean, I guess that's what you're trying to do. But then there's, you know, so it has changed. And the whole, you know, him liking lefties and liking the hang time, and you know, shoot, all these good punt returners that I punted, you know, to in my career. And Bill coming to me saying, hey, what do you want to do with this guy? And I'm like, straight down the middle and high, and just make him wave the guy. So, yeah, I mean, to your point, you know, yeah, he liked high IQ guys that were, you know, he knew that he had total confidence in me holding. That was the other thing was, you know, you're not going to get many balls by me, you know, as a holder, unless you rifle it over my head. Same with, you know, punting. Somebody had told me that I'd never that I'd never mishandled a snap. I don't know if it was punting and or field goal in my career. Right. You know, and that's something you have to be 100% at. You know, you really do. You don't get many do-overs. So, you know, being the athletic, having IQ, knowing what to do in situations is big on his watch.
So I guess the question that I think everybody kind of wants some insight on. So, you know, you drive the ball down and you're going to be holding for one of the most important field goals probably in, you know, Boston, New England sports history. And I mean, I'll be honest with you. I never thought I'd see the day where they won a Super Bowl. I actually wouldn't watch it. I turned around, closed my eyes, went in the other room, and I just listened. Because I just figured, you know, there's going to be a botch snap or something or whatever. But what did it feel like to be in that moment? The moment of the snap, and then, you know, Vinatieri kicks it, and you're watching it go through, and then all of a sudden you realize you're a world champ. Like, what are the emotions from the beginning of the play? You're waiting, you know, to resume play, and then the snap happens. Like, what's going through your head through all that from the start to the finish when it goes through?
Well, I'm going to kind of back up on that. And not just talk about the play, because it started when I got there to New England. I had never held for a righty. I only held for John Casey and Joe Nedney, and they were both lefties. So I had to flip around the other side. And I remember the first day, like it's different, you know. I mean, it's still the same stuff, but you're flipped around. But I remember Belichick standing over my. In live field goal, standing over my back and watching the spot. So he's watching where my finger is down, and he'd be like, "You missed it forward." I'm like, "No, I didn't. Like, I'm over top of the ball. I know." So he's over top of me, and you know, and I messed up a few little times with Adam, and I just told Adam, I said, I'll stay after practice. I'll have this down. Don't worry about it. Like, you know, I had to hold for a Pro Bowl kicker in Carolina being from the left. So from the first day I got there, and with all the wind and all the stuff that we get out there that people don't realize, you know, up in the Northeast there, we worked at it. I worked at it. Lonnie worked at it. Adam worked at it. Brad Seeley, our coach, you know, would snap. I think I wore people out when it came to snaps. Okay, give me some more. Give me some more. Give me some more. And then we would do it live as well while they were on another field. Lonnie would, you know, we'd roll a ball out on the field, and then we'd run out there, get set. I'd make the call, and we'd do it. So I think by the three of us making up our mind to just be that 1-2-3, you know, that fluid, you know, when there's a bad kick, hey, man, it's either the snap, the hold, or the kick, or all three of them, or a little bit of everything sprinkled in. So fast forwarding now to the Super Bowl, you know, and my son was born that week too. So that really helped, you know, you talk about emotions. Wow. Yeah. I don't think I had any more emotions. But, you know, there wasn't much going through our minds except for what we did every day. And that's God's honest truth. I mean, I think that the biggest thing that, when we ran out on the field, I don't know if you could see it on any film clips, but Rod Rutledge was mouthing off to, I don't know if it was Dre Bly or somebody across, and Adam screaming at him to get set. And I remember putting my hand up like, no, you focus on what you got to focus on. And I'm screaming at Rod. And I remember you could see one clip where his head looks back, you know, back to me, and then he gets set real quick. So, you know, with that said, shoot, it was making sure I got enough guys, which was, you know, I'm sure everybody showed up on that play. But, yeah. You know, I mean, shoot, we already had the snow kick that year too. That was big. And so we, but you know, the snap was money, you know, the hold was money, and the kick, you know, like there, you look at that thing and it, our, so here's how you know when the three of you are working well. When it takes 1.25 seconds from the ball released from the snapper's hand to his foot hitting the ball is 1.25 seconds. That's, you know, that's good. We were sometimes in the 1-1-0, 1-1-2 range where our coach would say, slow it down, guys. And I'd look at Adam, you know, it's just because I read Lonnie so well. His ball was so comfortable to catch. And like I always said, look, it's like catching a fly with chopsticks. You got to be quick. So, you know, me down to the snap, I just held today in high school. And I mean, this kid, our kicker is just like, oh my gosh, you know, and my son's doing pretty well too, but understanding the importance of getting the ball down as fast as you can, because a kicker can't kick what he can't see. So the faster I get the ball down, then the more he can see it and see his spot and have a good, you know, vantage point to, you know, his line and therefore follow through and put it down the middle. So, you know, we put a lot of time into that. It wasn't just like me showing up and hey, we got, you know, right place, right time. You know, we worked hard for that and we expected, you know, to be good, because I think in our 3 years, me and Adam we had eight or nine game winners in that short period of time. So that's a lot of, it's a lot of game on the line stuff.
So I think I got one more thing and then I'll turn it over to Bob and then we'll wrap up part one. But so you told me an interesting story about, I think it was the night before the Super Bowl. It was in your hotel room, I believe. Right. And if I remember right, without telling the whole story, Belichick came in and basically told you that he needed to count on you for Sunday, right?
I needed to step the F up.
Okay. So I think that's a good story that people will like to hear. So,
yeah, and it's also in a book.
Yep. The long snapper.
Yep.
Yep. Yep.
Oh, man, that's a crazy. I just told that story to one of our coaches the other day and he was blown away. And he was like, what's the name of that book? I need to see it. I'm like, trust me, you'll see all the quotes in there. Like, I am not BSing anybody. Like, this is real.
Yep.
So,
and I want to go back a little bit to the snowball game. So, I mean, you're up in the Northeast, you got all kind of weather. You guys practiced in the weather. But, you know, getting the ball down and certainly, you know, you hear that John Gruden calls timeouts, you guys can clear a little bit of space. You know, how much did that help you? And from what I understand, that the Raiders didn't even try to block that punt, that kick either, which was kind of crazy.
Well, yeah, you know, for him to call a timeout, I don't know. And to be quite honest, I was down in my stance and I just saw something running down. He ran all the way down to the 10-yard line, I would have to think, to get that timeout. And I looked up at Adam and I'm like, because we cleared a little, or I cleared some, but I didn't want to use my hands because I wanted to keep them dry to catch the ball. So I think I was using some cleats. And shoot, half our guys had, you know, half inch, three quarter, 1 inch cleats. I mean, you know, in that snow. So when he called that timeout, man, it was like, I mean, you could see NFL films, a few of them, where I'm calling the lineman over, and I mean, we just made a dirt. we dug into the dirt because there were the coils, the old coils under Foxborough Field there, and you could kind of see the steam coming out of it, you know, up close. But we cleared, you know. We cleared it to the point where Adam was like, all right, that's enough. Like, it's good. So, you know, we were able to make a nice little mound, you know, little tee for ourselves. So that was big. I mean, it was a chip shot. It was a 20-some yard field goal. But you're doing it in those elements, and you got to get the snap, you got to get the hold, and you got to get something up. And I don't remember anything after that ball leaving. So, I don't remember any pressure off the edges or anything, so.
Thanks for listening to Untold Patriot Stories with Scott Prusak and Dave Usher. Please follow us on whatever platform you download your podcasts, and be sure to tell your friends.